This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. We're talking about cleaning up today. Among ecologists, there is a fierce debate over what to do with land that's been altered by us, humans. That controversy is playing out on the site of the former Pruitt-Igoe housing complex in St. Louis. In the 50s and 60s, poverty, segregation, and poor maintenance led to horrendous living conditions there. And in the 1970s, the building started to come down.
Today is demolition day at Pruitt-Igoe. Here in the late afternoon, with weather moving in from the west and helicopters hovering above, door wrecking comes to explode.
It's been four decades since this site was abandoned. So what can you do with it? Leave it be? Clean it up? Boyce Uphold took a tour.
It's like a paradise in the middle of St. Louis. Cottonwoods shimmer in the breeze. Between the trees, I can see wildflower meadows.
This is a nice time to come because it's greened up, so you can't see all the junk out here.
Charlie Nylon is a biologist at the University of Missouri at Columbia, and that junk he's talking about is the rubble of the Pruitt-Igoe housing projects. Brick and asphalt are mixed into the soil of this forest, which is one of the largest green spaces in the city. It's become a haven for wildlife.
And, you know, there are hawks out here and owls at night.
There are other species, too, wildlife that purists would consider to be invaders. There's lots of bush honeysuckle, a plant native to Asia. That invasive has been ravaging the city for decades. Most St. Louisians will walk right by these woods and think it's just a giant patch of weeds. Just trash. I came here at the suggestion of Emma Maris, a science writer.
I'm not really sure what I am these days. I am an environmental writer and author.
She says these kinds of places are important. This is where future generations will develop a love for nature and wildness. There's less and less pristine nature, and for most of us it is very far away. So Emma has become one of the most vocal proponents of a new idea. There is a new normal, and we need to give these places a new name. Let's call them novel ecosystems.
It gives us this way to notice these spaces that we have sort of been trained not to notice, right? And that then, if somebody came up with a proposal to pave over one of these systems, we would have a way to say, no, okay, maybe it's not Yellowstone, maybe it's not pristine, but there's a lot to value here, and we're going to fight that. We're going to fight that destruction.
This is not always a popular position. Emma and other scientists have been called defeatists. These spats can get personal. People have even accused her of hating the real wilderness.
I mean, I've actually started taking pictures of myself standing next to various like designated wilderness signs. At some point, I'm going to publish like a slideshow of Emma Maris actually going to the wilderness to prove that I have actually been to the wilderness.
The thing is, traditionalists think we should consider places like this trash. If we call these degraded ecosystems, that might inspire someone to take action and clean things up. But call it a novel ecosystem, and there are players who might use this as an excuse. Think of industrialists or developers who might pollute and then say, hey, we've made a new novel ecosystem.
These players say, well, we're sorry, but the leading scientists tell us that the whole world is in a new ecological world order. This is the new normal. So polluting industries are getting a get-out-of-jail-free card.
James Aronson is a conservation scientist at the Missouri Botanical Garden. He was actually a co-author on the first paper to use the phrase novel ecosystems. But since then, he's decided that term was a problem. To understand the controversy, you have to know some basics about ecological restoration. When scientists are setting out to restore a landscape, they'll choose a reference ecosystem as a target, a baseline. We knew it looked like this in the past, and we're trying to get back there. But maybe we shouldn't spend so much time winding back the clock.
The restoration costs money, and conservation and restoration dollars are always scarce, and in my opinion, they always will be.
That's Richard Hobbs, an ecologist at the University of Western Australia. But he's not just an ecologist. Like James, he's a restoration ecologist. Rather than just observe ecosystems, they tend to, restore them.
We need to be very careful about prioritizing what we're doing, making sure that we back winners and don't do stuff that isn't going to result in good outcomes in the end.
Many in the restoration ecology community see Richard as something of a radical.
So, I'm called Mr. Novel Ecosystems these days because my name's been on the papers that have promulgated this.
Radical or traditional, restoration ecology is always political. It requires us to make choices. Richard says we need to confront the fact that whatever we choose, we are revealing our values. In St. Louis, my tour with biologist Charlie Nylon continues. We leave the old housing project site and head to some other places where man has altered the landscape, but where wildlife still thrives. We see doves and turkey, Charlie says he's seen coyote tracks, even bald eagles. These are important spaces.
Whatever you want to call them, they're here. They're an important part of maintaining biodiversity in cities, and so you had to be intentional and thoughtful about how you manage it.
But no one is managing the old Pruitt-Igoe housing site as a wilderness. It's become one through neglect. And soon that might change. Last year, a developer bought the land. He said it will be the crown jewel in a massive commercial project that will include a hotel, a hospital, stores, and offices. For a lot of people, this is cleaning up the site. They don't want an empty, unkept lot down the street from their homes. For others, though, it's a missed opportunity.
That was Boyce Uphold reporting from St. Louis.